Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Hi there. You are listening to the Give Me the Joy Show with me, Lynn Horde. Tune in every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio, where I share very practical, grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, your work, and your relationships. What does Give Me the Joy make you feel? Do you believe you're meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to go about it? I can help. I'm Lynn Horde, the Joy Coach, founder of Joy School and the Joy at Work programs. Join me as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. Hello, hello, and welcome back for another episode of Give Me the Joy. I'm your host, Lynn Horde, and it is my joy and delight to be here with you today. So I've got a fun topic for you today, and it is the four habits of highly joyful people. You may notice I've done a little play on words there with the famous Stephen Covey book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. My background's in journalism, so I like a bit of play on words myself. So that was a bit of fun. So the four habits of highly joyful people is what we're going to be talking about today. If you have any questions about what I'm talking about today, or if you've got something going on in your life and you'd love to hear my input or get some advice from me, I would love to hear from you. So if you're, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening afterwards, there's a box on the website transformationtalkradio.com, and on the very homepage on the right-hand side, there is a box there where you can put in any question that you have and it'll get sent to me. So if you've got any thoughts or comments, love to hear from you. So please do put that in there. And if you are listening live, and I think there's a number if you are in America, I know many of you aren't necessarily there, but if you are, I think there's an 1800 number on there as well. I'll check in the break just to make sure I've got that right. So back to the four habits of highly joyful people. So the very first one, I'm a very logical girl, so I'm going to start at the very beginning of your day, I've just got a fantastic little message in there to let me know that if you are listening in and you do want to call in, the number, thank you, Carter, is 1-800-930-2819. So that's 1-800-930-2819, and you can come on live and talk to me if you've got a question or comment. So the four habits of highly joyful people. And as I said, the first thing is we're going to be talking about how to set your day up in a way that positions you for the most possible joy. Now, I know that there's a really good book out there. I think it's called The Miracle Morning. It is on my list of books to read because I've heard it's a real winner. But, you know, the fact that someone's written a book about The Miracle Morning probably tells you something about the power that we have when we first wake up. There's lots of research out there about that. So, I mean, that's something you can go and have a look into yourself. But know that, you know, when we first wake up in the morning, you know, it's almost like we've reset ourselves. So our brain is fairly quiet compared to what it has been the rest of the day. Energetically, we're fairly open at that point when we first wake up because we've settled and we've relaxed while we're asleep. So it's really the prime opportunity for us to kind of set ourselves up for the best possible joyful day. Now, there are many ways that you can do this, but the reason why it's really important to do it in the morning is because, as you'll know, if you're someone who checks your emails first thing, or if you've got a busy life with family and toddlers or young kids, you'll know that pretty much as soon as you wake up and you leave your room, life starts running your day. So those precious moments in the morning are really great if you can utilize those. I'll give it as an example. So my dad was recently here visiting. He flew home to Australia on Monday and he was here for 3.5 weeks. And, you know, we had a jam-packed time. We had lots of fun. We went to Wimbledon. We went walking in the Lake District, which is a beautiful part of Great Britain. But I know that when my dad's here visiting, you know, it's a busy time. I don't necessarily get as much time to sit and be still and that kind of thing. But what I knew was that as long as I did those, my morning rituals, as I call them, as long as I did my morning rituals, I could maintain my sense of center, my sense of calm, and really approach the day in my usual excited, not necessarily excited, but joyful way. What is that word? It's like you're setting yourself for, you're ready. Of how I think about it. So I know that's what I need to do for myself every day in order to be present and actually, you know, receive the most out of the day. And I'll get back to what my specific ritual is in the morning. But there are many things that you can do, especially, and if you're busy, I know that's something that people tell me a lot, look, I'm too busy to do that. But honestly, you could just spend a couple of minutes setting yourself up for a really good day. And I'll give you some examples, of course, being the practical girl that I am. I like to give you some things that you can actually use. So one of the things that I teach in Joy School, my online group program, is actually around creating yourself a morning mantra. So as soon as you wake up and as soon as you open your eyes, you know, actually say a thing. So you create a phrase that elicits really positive emotion in your body. You know, so it could be something like, you know, I can't wait to see what magic unfolds for me today, you know, but maybe magic's not a word that you like. It could be just, you know, I can't wait to see the positive things that happen today. So have a play around with words that work for you, of course, because the idea here is, and you'll know it's right when you actually get the emotional response in your body. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, super effervescent and excitement. It's just, you know, that general, you push yourself over into the positive feeling. So that's kind of what you're looking for with your miracle mantra. And that literally, once you've come up with your miracle mantra, your morning mantra, it literally is just you wake up and you say the words. And you sit there and enjoy the emotion as well, you know, in that morning. And that could take you like 30 seconds. So it really can be very fast. And then if you wanted to build on that, you could think about things like, I'm really big on setting intentions for the day, or having a think about how do I want things to go for me today. There's a lady named Esther Hicks, and I think she channels somebody called Abraham. And I know this is something that she talks a lot about, is being really intentional and really thinking about what is coming up for you that day and how you want it to play out. And you can visualize or imagine that in your head while you're still laying in bed in the morning. And it's things like, and I'm not necessarily talking about the things you want to go, it's how could things go well? What's the best turn of events for what's happening in your day today? So that could be, you know, you're looking after the kids and the best turn of events is you get to the end of the day, you're actually feeling calm, everything feels pretty much in control, you know, and it's all kind of gone pretty to hoil. I don't know what that, I think, is that something? It's gone reasonably according to plan. It could be, you know, you're going into work today and you've got a certain meeting that you're a little bit worried about, or you've got a big presentation you're going to make, and just laying there and thinking through, right, what does it look like in my mind to get the best possible outcome in that scenario? And, you know, using our mind as a tool, and I'll be talking more about this as we go along in today's show, you know, our mind is such an amazing tool to help us actually create that positive outcome that we want. So just thinking through, maybe it's, you know, not everything in your day. Maybe you do run through your whole day. Maybe it's a few things, you know, something that you're worried about or something that actually you're looking forward to. So it's just being more intentional about how do I want my day to go today? So that's a couple of things that you can do. And as I say, they're really quick. So it's like, what is my intention for the day? You know, how do I want things to go? And, you know, what is my morning mantra? You know, I know a lot of people use affirmations, you know, that's a really good way to start your day as well. They're particularly more powerful when you can actually look yourself in the mirror and say them to yourself. So, I mean, if you're someone who already does those, you know, they're a great addition as well. Personally, I have done all of those things, and you know, everything evolves. So, you know, you might start there if you haven't already. If you don't already have a bit of a morning ritual, you know, you might start with some of those things, or, you know, maybe somebody else has suggested something to you, or you might want to grab that book, The Miracle Morning, although I really should read it before I tell you to go and have a look at it. I will do that. And, you know, and actually create something that works for you. That's the most important thing is, you know, whatever it is, you've got to find something that really works for you, that fits into your schedule, that creates, you know, creates that sense of calm, you know, and positivity as you kind of get out of bed in the morning. So these days what I tend to do is first thing in the morning, I kind of do three things, but there are two that are more key that if I'm running short of time, I might skip one. So one of the things I do is between 15 and 20 minutes of meditation. So I've been meditating for a long time now, and I really believe it helps make you a calmer, more centered, more present person, you know, and that's how I want to live my life. So I continue my meditation because it really does bring me back to center. And helps me in that, and you know, feeling those things allows me to enjoy my life more. And I also I do a particular breathing and grounding technique because I've learned over the years that grounding is super important for us being present and being able to manage the flow of life. So if you haven't heard of things like that before, grounding is like making sure you're in your body, because a lot of the time we can actually not be present. We're not physically in our body in many ways. So grounding is making sure that, you know, your feet in your energy is connected into the earth. So I do some things around that, and I do some morning prayers, which is like my intentions for the day. So, but my morning prayers, you know, kind of have a talk to God, you know, the universe. And I'm like, right, you know, here's what, you know, is on the agenda today. You know, how can we create this together so that, you know, we get the, you know, so that we're creating something that is kind of for the highest good. So I kind of sit there and have a bit of a wee chat with God, and that's kind of the way I set up my day personally. But again, it's about finding what works for you. So really kind of play with that, have a think about it, get curious. If you don't already have a morning ritual, get curious about what, you know, what are the things that you could do that would help you set yourself up for allowing in and receiving more joy in your day. So we're about to go to a break. When we get back, I'm going to talk to you about the second habit of highly joyful people. So I'll be back very shortly.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L, on the Tracy L Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Give Me the Joy radio show, and today we're talking about the four habits of highly joyful people. Before the break, I talked about habit number one, which is creating a morning ritual that sets you up to be able to receive, allow, and enjoy the joy that is in your day. And the second habit I want to talk about is actually learning throughout your day to cultivate a positive and joyful mindset. So this, again, you know, what's great about what I do is that these days there is so much research that supports the impact that all of these things that I'm talking to you about, specifically today because we're talking about habits, but how all of these things can really impact how much joy and how much positivity you experience in your day. And cultivating a joyful mindset is one of those ones that's really brilliant. You know, all of the neuroscientists talk about neural pathways, and one of the things we're essentially doing with cultivating a joyful mindset is creating pathways in your mind that lead you to thoughts that are more positive than potentially they are right now, as an example. So one of the ways I kind of talk about that is one of the things to be looking for throughout your day is the whole silver lining thing. And that's something that I know you'll know. Everybody knows that phrase, which makes it very easy, you know, for everybody to get kind of what I'm talking about there. So, you know, this is life. So things don't always work out the way we want them to. Oftentimes they don't. And one of the things that, you know, has really helped me over the last decade or so, you know, as I've learned to do this for myself, is that was the first thing, looking for the silver lining. So rather than your mind going down that pathway of this is a disaster, why is this happening to me? You know, and I've said those things before, so I totally get it. This always happens to me, but nobody else. You know, our mind can go down those pathways of kind of making it a drama, making this something that's happened to us. And what that results in is emotions that we don't necessarily, you know, enjoy. And also, but for future, you know, for the rest of your day, that can actually give you a negative outlook no matter what's going to happen. So what we can do, though, is in that moment, so we have a choice in our mind. So we can go down that pathway or we can choose another pathway, a pathway where it's like, you know what, that has happened, but here's a reason why this might be good. Now, this can take some training. So this is retraining your brain. And, you know, it can take, if your mind's really elastic, then it might take you no time. If you've kind of got really deep neural pathways, it might take you a little while. It's like smokers, I suppose. You know, that's what they talk about. It's not actually about getting rid of the smoking habit. It's about putting in a new habit that's more powerful. And I suppose that's what we're doing here as well. So rather than see something as a negative, we're trying to look at it as like, what's the good here? And I truly believe, and it has been my experience, that there is always some good to be found. So, you know, the very simple example is if you miss, you know, you've gone to the bus stop, you're standing at the bus and, you know, maybe, you know, something happens and you're not able to get on the bus or you miss the bus or it doesn't turn up. And, you know, that can be annoying for sure. And you might be like, oh, you know, it might put you in a bad frame of mind. But it could also, and this can also be in reflection. So at that moment, sure, you might get annoyed, but it's really worth having a think about later on in the day. Okay, so, you know, what happened as a result of that that was a good thing? And at the time, and then what eventually what you can develop is in that moment, you're like, yep. It's not to say you won't necessarily feel that spark of annoyance. You know, if you're running late and you're feeling a bit stressed and the bus doesn't turn up, that is really annoying. But what you can do is actually kind of pre-pave and go, I know that this is annoying right now, but I know that this is going to be, there's going to be something good that comes out of this. So even if you can't identify what it is, actually just having that thought will change the way you perceive the rest of your day. And let's just take a moment to really think about, and because what I find really fascinating about this stuff is when we can kind of control our mind and make choices about how we think and perceive of what's coming, going on in front of us, that's how we can change our emotions. So if you're not aware, like there's a huge link, and I'm sure many of you are, you know, there is a massive link between what we think and what we feel. So if you're feeling particular emotions around a situation, often you can change those emotions by changing the way that you're perceiving or thinking about the situation in front of you. For instance, I had a client recently and she's a doctor and she was having a really difficult time with the patient's family. You know, they were super stressed out. They weren't listening to her advice as the physician in charge. And, you know, she was getting really frustrated and she wasn't really sure what to do. You know, and one of the things that we talked about in that situation, I was like, okay, so, you know, you're perceiving this situation as potentially, you know, that they're not listening to you, that they're kind of don't trust your judgment. And you know, we kind of went through what she thought what she thought that situation meant. And then we had a think about, I was like, okay, well, what if this actually means something else? You know, what do you think is going on for that patient's family? And we kind of talked it through, and eventually she could see by shifting her perception away from, you know, what she thought that meant about her, and we actually thought about the other people, she could see that really they were just completely stressed. They felt, you know, out of control because one of the family was away, and they were freaking out, you know. And it was just that shift in perception to realize actually, you know, there's a whole lot going on for this family here, you know, and it just changed the way she felt about the situation. It changed the way she was able to engage with them, you know, so she had more compassion. She was more passionate, calmer, more patience, that's the word. And she already had these skills. She already had those values and those skills, but obviously she was feeling stressed because of what was happening. So she was able to calm herself down, see a different perspective, and then respond in a different way. And so it's incredibly powerful when we can reframe situations, which is a good coaching term really for when we can change our perception about what's happening around us. And so that's one of the tools that I really encourage anybody to use, is to start practicing, you know, as a habit, the idea of look for the silver lining. And so when something good has happened, really acknowledge the good that's happened, okay? So that's one of the things that we can miss, is like, oh, yeah, that's good. I don't have to think about it anymore. But what we want to do is make sure we're focusing on those positives. So that is about when something good happens, focusing and acknowledging the positive. And when something, you know, we perceive as, oh, that's not so good, or that wasn't the outcome I was looking for what was the good that came out of that. So that's kind of looking for the silver lining, and that kind of really helps us cultivate that positive, joyful mindset. And I kind of touched on with that story I shared about my client, you know, I also touched on that realization that if we can shift, so as humans, we tend to make things about us. That's very normal. That's just kind of how we do it. And, you know, but as we grow up and as we become, you know, adults, we learn obviously to find empathy for other people, to be able to put ourselves in their shoes. But when we kind of when we're going through our day and we can get annoyed or stressed or triggered, you know, we kind of tend to shrink back into what's going on for me. But you know, one of the things that we can do, as I shared with that story, is really stop for a second, like take a breath, and actually put our whole attention on the other person, because often when we get upset or triggered, it's because something else has happened with a person, and actually get curious. So I wonder what's going on for them right now. What might be happening in their world, in their mind, in their experience that could be impacting the way that they're behaving or the way that they're saying, or might explain the decisions that they're making? You know, if you're in a place of work, you know, somebody might make a decision, especially, I mean, if you're a leader, you might make a decision that somebody, you know, that you're one of your employees doesn't like, you know, that maybe puts their job in a difficult position, you know, but could impact them in a way that they perceive as negative, or vice versa. So, but what we can do is like, well, so what do we think is going on for them? So if you're a leader, you know, and your employee, you know, has a bad reaction to something, they might be afraid of losing their job. They might not feel seen and heard. You know, they might feel like they're left out and not included or valued in the team. You know, there are so many things that could be going on for someone, and it's a real skill to develop to find empathy for other people. And it's a skill that enables us also to allow us to have more joy in our lives, because we're making space. You know, it's like, rather than emotionally reacting to situations, we're allowing space to see, oh, what's really going on here. And that can really help us not get caught up in the drama of life. You know, it's a coaching thing we often talk about, you know, the five levels of focus. And one of them is problem. There's problem, drama, and at the top there's vision and solution. And, you know, when we're stuck in the lower ones, it's really hard to see what's possible. It's really hard to see what is working, what is positive, what good has come out of, you know, something that's happened. So it's really worth us remembering that, you know, cultivating that joyful mindset, you know, looking for the silver lining, staying solution focused, and working with what's in front of you. So this is a big piece I might talk about another time, but it's around kind of accepting what's going on and going, okay, how do I find a solution here? So that's kind of the other thing to think about. And it's like we're talking about, so taking charge of your mind as a tool and giving it the habits that will support you to be happy on a more regular basis, for you to experience joy on a more regular basis. So I hope that makes sense. And if you've got other ideas, I mean, there's plenty more ideas out there. You know, love to hear what your thoughts are, what's worked for you as well. So if you do have any ideas or want to share your thoughts on that, please do call in or go to the website and enter in your question or your thought in the box. So that's transformationtalkradio.com. There's a box on the right-hand side. Okay, so we're off for a break again shortly. So I will be back with the third habit of highly joyful people.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back for the Give Me the Joy radio show. Today, we are talking about the four habits of highly joyful people, and we're now on habit number three. Now, you might be surprised by this, but the third habit is actually really good self-care. So what I mean by self-care is looking after all of your basic needs so that they're all met. And you know, we're talking and we've got physical needs, we've got, you know, mental needs, we've got emotional needs, you know, there's spiritual needs in there as well. So there's a whole load of needs actually, you know, that we kind of need to get met. But the way I think about this is it's like when you have good self-care, it's like you are sailing on an even water, you know, maybe out on a beautiful lake or something, but it's very even. You can, you know, the wind can grab your sails, you can enjoy the sun on your face, and then, you know, you're off and cruising and it's a beautiful thing. But if you don't have good self-care, you are on some choppy waters and you are all over the place and you're just trying to tie down the sails and not fall overboard. So that's kind of the analogy I like to use. So in order for joy to blossom, we need to be on an even keel. And we create that even keel by making sure our needs are met. So we have very good self-care. Because as I said, it's really hard for joy to flourish if you are depleted in some way. So, you know, in this modern day, it's very hard to meet all of our self-care needs on, you know, often. Like, you know, my friend currently has two young children. She is often sleep deprived. She doesn't necessarily get enough connection with humans as she would like. You know, so there are stages in life and there are circumstances where it's not always possible. But you kind of do the best you can, really, with whatever, as I said in the last segment, you basically work with what's in front of you and make the best of it that you can. So, you know, many of the things that we experience in kind of modern day life are things like stress, you know, anxiety. You know, we can get a lot of emotional tension or upset. We can, you know, experience physical exhaustion, like burnout's a big thing in the working world. You know, we can obviously, everyone experiences illness of some form at some time as well. So all of these things, and that's just a small example. There are obviously many other things that kind of get in the way. But there's some really basic things that it's really worth having a look at. So I'll give you a list of some of the things I talk about in one of my courses. So we've got things like, you know, are you getting enough sleep? Now, I know that this is really basic, but there are whole books about the fact that we need to be having more sleep. I think it's Arianna Huffington wrote The Sleep Revolution. And, you know, it is a big deal. So really have a look at what are your sleep habits? You know, are you getting enough sleep? What can you do to get more sleep? And you'll know because, you know, are you waking up feeling refreshed and energized? You know, are you making it through your day? You know, are you waking up at 3 a.m. with anxiety? So, you know, if those kind of things are happening for you, it's kind of, I really suggest making it a priority to sort out like, okay, how do I figure out this sleep thing? How do I get myself more quality sleep? And there are a lot of resources out there, you know, that can help you do that. Like, you know, my friend, our friend Google could certainly give you plenty, I'm sure. You know, so that's, you know, that's a physical need. We're like, you know, are you eating well? Like, are you getting all the nutrients you need? Do you have enough variety in your diet? I mean, that's not something I do very well sometimes. I tend to eat the same thing regularly if I'm home. But, you know, are you getting enough variety which provides the nutrients that you need? You know, are you someone who needs supplements? You know, and have you had a look into that? Are you drinking enough water? Like, that's a massive one. You know, are you drinking enough water to allow your body, I think, because water is one of the things that allows your body to operate at its optimum and repair itself. And there are many ways. I'm not an expert in water. I do know that it is essential for our well-being on many levels. You know, so that's food, that's, you know, sleeping, your physical needs. You know, we have emotional needs that really need to get met. Like, I mean, are you having enough time with people? You know, are you having enough time alone? You know, I'm more of an introvert on the scale of introvert, extrovert. I think you'd probably now classify me as an ambivert. So I'm kind of a bit in the middle depending on the situation. But I know that I do need a lot of me time, and it's great because my long-term friends, they all know this about me. And when we went on, I went on holidays with a couple of my best friends to Greece a few years ago now, and there was four of us and we had two extroverts and two introverts. So, and I was so proud of us because at the very beginning of the holiday, you know, we actually sat there and like, okay, so I'm going to need some me time. So there'll be a point in the holiday where I'm going to say to you, I need to go and have some time alone. And we all just laughed because it was so good that we said it. People knew it was coming and we were making sure we got our individual needs met. Because what that allows then is it means, you know, because if I don't get enough me time, I'll get grumpy. I can feel the tension kind of build in my body. So I've learnt now that when that feeling comes, I need to take a time out for myself. So it's recognizing like, what does that look like for you? Maybe you're an introvert as well and you need more me time than the average bear. You know, maybe you're an extrovert like my friend and she needs social. She needs to, this is my friend with her two young kids, but she needs time with people. And, you know, so that's kind of a challenge for her as a mum with two young kids, is like making sure she gets enough time with friends and people she can kind of have adult conversation with. You know, and there are things like this is really great. A lady who I kind of followed a while ago in terms of, like, you know, went to some of her workshops and stuff. I'd never really thought about it, but one of the things that she said about self-care was her self-care practice was she had a massage, you know, once a month. And I love a massage, but I'd never thought about that as a specific thing. And she said, look, you know, it's not, I know it's a nice to have. She's like, but in my world, if I don't get that massage, I can feel the tension. You know, she's like, that really helps me reset and kind of be present for my family and really present in my business. So that kind of expanded my idea of, you know, the self-care practices that you can have. So having a look at your own world right now, having, you know, kind of we've talked about this a little bit, like what is it that you need? Like, do you need more time alone? Do you need more people time? You know, are you looking after yourself well enough physically? You know, where are the areas where you feel depleted or where it feels off or, you know, the places that are making you unhappy? You know, as I said, so my friend is, she knows that she needs time with people. Time with people. That's it. Yeah. And it's just like really being aware of that. So, my client, the doctor I mentioned earlier, you know, she had this really wonderful insight recently. So we, along our journey of working together, we've kind of really looked into what are her self-care needs. And in between sessions, she sent me an email and she's like, oh, Lynn, I've had this weekend. You know, my husband, he went and did this and I was looking after our kids and, you know, it all kind of went a bit pear-shaped. And as I read to the end of the email, she said, oh, I've just identified what it is. She's like, my needs weren't met. So it was a real, and I was super proud of her in that moment, because recognizing when that's happening in your life gives you the power and the choice to then actually take action to rectify it. You know, so I can tell you for sure that the next weekend, you know, she'd sorted out with her husband so that she had some time and so that, you know, her son was taken care of and she got what she needed as well. So it's a really powerful thing. And on that also, it's really worth knowing that the only person who can take care of your needs, so those core needs, your self-care, the only person that can do that is you. So the first step, of course, is really recognizing what does that look like for you? If you were to come up with, for instance, a self-care plan, what would that look like? You know, actually, I love it where many of the highest paid and most successful executives in the world, they actually put appointments in their calendar for what I would call self-care. So if they've gone, you know, they might go to the gym every lunch or every other lunchtime, but it'll be an appointment in their calendar because they know that they can't function as well at such a high level, you know, they can't deliver as good performance without those levels of self-care. You know, so maybe it's you need to go and see a therapist. You know, there are many things that are involved in, you know, looking after our core needs. So as I said, the first thing is to kind of have a look at what are they for you? You know, where are the holes? Where are you feeling depleted? That's probably a good question to ask yourself. Where are you feeling depleted? How could you meet that need? Like, how could you fill that gap for yourself? And the third thing is, how can you make it a habit? You know, so like I just mentioned the executive that, you know, an executive there, so they kind of put it in their diary. And I know a woman who is a financial advisor, and she's learnt that she has a struggle with her back. And, you know, she's finally learnt after many years of struggling with this back pain that if she goes to the gym on a regular basis, a couple of times a week, she manages that back pain. She's able to be present at work, doesn't need to take time off. So the payoff when we can do this is really quite spectacular. It's like that even boat flying across the lake. Then you can actually enjoy even more the life around you. You can enjoy even more what's in front of you. And it also enables you with the first two habits to be more positive to in your mind, and also to look forward to the day ahead when we have that kind of self-care in place. So really worth thinking about that for yourself. There's lots of great books and resources out there now about self-care. You know, you can go much deeper into that topic. I don't actually can't think of any specific resource right now. Actually, I do. I have a friend of mine who wrote The Little Book of Self-Care, and it is on my other bookshelf. Mel Noakes, her name is. So it's a nice little gift-sized little book. So if you wanted to kind of dive a bit more deeply into self-care, I can recommend her book to you. But yes, it's just like have a sit down, have a brainstorm, and think about like what would it look like if I had premium self-care for myself, and then go forth with that. All right, so we've just talked about the third habit, which is around making sure you have excellent self-care practices so that then you are in a position, a mental, emotional, and physical state that allows joy to flourish at its maximum in your life. So we'll go to another break shortly, and when I come back, I'll talk to you about the very last, the fourth one, the fourth habit of highly joyful people. See you in a sec.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Give Me the Joy. Today we're talking about the four habits of highly joyful people. And I'm feeling joyful right now because my producer Carter is heading over to London with his wife for a holiday shortly. So in the breaks, we've been brainstorming all of the amazing places that he can go to while he's here. Because, of course, I've lived in London for 12 years, I think, now. So I have lots of insider knowledge. So anyway, feeling very joyful that he's going to be visiting and that he's going to come and see this amazing city. So, and the reason why that's relevant is because, having gratitude, so an attitude of gratitude is actually the fourth habit of highly joyful people. And there's so much in this one. It's a huge topic. It is very popular in terms of when people talk about joy and happiness now and, cultivating a growth mindset and a positive mindset. You know, gratitude is one that is spoken about often. So, gratitude is about acknowledging and being thankful for what it is that is going on in your life or something that is in front of you at the time. So it could be, you're thankful for your health. It could be you're thankful for somebody in your life. It could be that you're, thankful that you get to drink, this fantastic coffee that you enjoy in the morning. So there, there's a wide breadth of things that you could be happy for in your life. But why does this work? So it's just worth thinking about this for a second. Why does gratitude work? Again, what's great about, so 10 years ago, all of this stuff hadn't really been researched yet, but now there is a whole heap of research out there. And so, one of the things about gratitude, again, is that it actually helps to retrain your brain. So I mentioned earlier in the show today around, looking for the silver lining and, retraining your brain to look and the positive rather than the negative. And, having an attitude of gratitude can really help you to do that. It's like your brain is a tool and it loves Oh, there you go. Again, it's twice in one show I've forgotten a word. Never mind. It loves a project. It loves a task. There you go. That's the word. It loves a task. So if you kind of give your brain the task of looking for things to be thankful for, it keeps going. So you'll start, you go, okay, what's in front of me right now to be thankful for? Great. That's your first. But the way you can make it a habit is you start to make it a bit of a game. So you're like, okay, so, you know, this is, I've just got a lovely new computer. It's an iMac for my desk. And honestly, I am so grateful for that. I've been working on my small and it's small. And so now I've got this lovely big screen and I am super grateful. I am really thankful for it. I'm thankful that it allows me to sit a bit straighter in my chair. I'm thankful it allows me to see things bigger on my screen because I have to wear glasses now when I use computers. So that will help with that situation. You know, so there are lots of things, but what's wonderful is you can start a domino effect. So this is how you retrain your brain with this one. You can start a domino effect. So if you are not somebody who's accustomed to thinking about what you're grateful for and thankful for in your life, think about it as a game. And when you start and you give your brain that task, it continues. The more you are grateful for and the more you're thankful for, the more your brain will find to be grateful for. So it's an amazing, it's an amazing domino effect. And that's how we start to see the world around us as more positive than negative. And I don't necessarily like to use those words, but, you know, I mean, I've been in those situations in my life where, you know, I have kind of, you know, I've been hating on my life. And, you know, there are times, you know, in my life where I just could not see the positive. I couldn't see why I could, you know, I didn't actually want to be thankful for what was in my life. And I actually wrote a blog about it once. I think it's something called, you know, why I resisted gratitude. It was a couple of years, but I could see that I was in resistance to being grateful for things in my life. And it was actually because in my mind, I felt like if I was grateful for what was in my life, then I wouldn't get the things I wanted that weren't in my life. So it's an interesting choice there. So as you can see, so what I did was maintain my focus on what was not present that I wanted rather than keep my focus on what was working, what was in my life that I did really enjoy and brought me joy. And, you know, if we're thinking about, you know, what we focus on multiplies, I was focusing on what wasn't there rather than focusing on what was. So, and I know that, you know, on an energetic perspective, there's that phrase, energy flows where attention goes. So if we, that's one of the reasons why this is so powerful, the gratitude process, the gratitude habit is so powerful, because when we are focusing on what we are really appreciative of in our lives, we actually see more to be appreciative of. And it kind of, it reaches a tipping point. So, you know, this is only somewhere I've kind of gotten the last couple of years. It does reach a tipping point where you tip over to the side where you see more to be grateful and thankful for than the holes that are missing. Now, here's the really interesting thing about this. There are still, so back from that time when I kind of see it as a bit of a dark time and all I could see was what I didn't have in my life to where I am now, there are still some of the same holes. So that's the thing I want you to know. There are still some of the kind of holes, the things that I want that I don't have, but I feel completely different about my life, you know, and as I've talked about, you know, I experience more joy, and I experience way less kind of like low moments, as I used to call them, you know, because I have really worked on how I see my life. So this gratitude thing is incredibly powerful. There's this woman named Janice Kaplan. She wrote a book called The Gratitude Diaries, and I love some of the stories that she shares in there, because one of the things that she talks about is the relationship. So she did it as an experiment. She's like, I'm going to do this for 12 months. I'm just going to practice gratitude every day, and that's how she ended up writing the book. But one of the things that she got out of that was the unexpected surprises was her relationship with her husband. It was almost like she said, I'm paraphrasing, but she said essentially it was like I fell in love with him all over again. And you know, maybe I'll actually talk about gratitude as for a whole episode, because when we apply gratitude to, as an example, to your relationship. So when you are in appreciation of your partner, imagine what that's like when you start seeing more of what's good about them, more about what you love about them, more about what you appreciate about them than the ways they annoy you. So, and you know, in long-term relationships, that can often be what we end up focusing on, like the bits that annoy you. But we have the power to control that. We can change that. And, you know, it can be extraordinary, the impact it has. So if you're someone who's looking to experience, you know, more joy, more intimacy in your relationships, I'd really encourage you to adopt an attitude of gratitude. And we've only got a few minutes left today. So one of the things I'll say is a really simple way to do it is before you go to bed at night, you know, grab yourself a journal and actually write down as many things as you can think about that you have to be grateful for that day. It can be, you know, 3, 5, 10, like whatever you've got time for, however much energy you've got, but really do that. And the other thing to make sure is that you are feeling that. So think back to the moment in your day when you were grateful for that thing, because what we're trying to do is not just think the gratitude but feel the gratitude. All right, so that unfortunately brings – I was having a great time chatting about that with you today. I might have to talk about that a little bit more. So that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that you've enjoyed that. If you want to continue the conversation with me, come on over to the Give Me the Joy Facebook group. So you can find us at facebook.com/groups/ Give Me the Joy. I'm back every second and third Thursday of the month, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. UK time. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it and look forward to speaking with you next time. Take care. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Give Me the Joy show, which airs every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. In this hit show, I share very practical, very grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, work, and relationships. As a certified coach and facilitator, I support individuals and businesses to harness the power of joy to create positive, lasting change in all areas. For more information or to listen to the show, visit lynnhord.com.